Hello, and thank you for tuning in to our SearchExchange.com podcast. My name is Matt Gervais, site editor for SearchExchange.com. Recently, I had the opportunity to meet up with Tony Rudman, VP and CTO of HP Services, at the Exchange Connection Show in Las Vegas. In speaking with Tony, I was curious about his thoughts on the future of messaging, email, collaboration, and social networking. Meeting with Tony, my first question was, how do you see email potentially changing as we move further into the 21st century? Here's what he had to say.
I think there's a couple of things. The first thing I'd say is that you've got a lot of the attitudes from consumer mail are now making their way into enterprise mail. And that is that people have an expectation that they're able to have access to email everywhere. So you got ubiquity, you got the Mobility Act come in. They have an expectation that they're able to have these massive mailboxes. And you can see how companies like Microsoft and Google are reacting to that by providing mailboxes which are a size maybe up to 20 or 30 times larger than the average enterprise mailbox. And you also find that people expect that they're going to have access to email all the time. So there's the range of devices that they have are just stunning in terms of their ability to get email all the time, anytime, anywhere, any place. I just think this is going to continue. I just think email has resisted the test of time in terms of proving that it's the communications vehicle that works. It facilitates anything from personal communication through the most structured and legal communication. And it's now, just imagine a world without email now. I don't think any of us could even think about how we would operate.
My next question for Tony was if he thought that email could potentially be relegated to something different than it is today. Here's his response.
You get things like, we're all familiar with webcams, okay? We're all familiar now with things like the Halo communication system, high-end voice and data, and integrated communications for conference room. Like, I think you're going to see hardware-based acceleration of these technologies so that they become more pervasive at the personal level. So you'll see PCs that have got communications devices built in that allow you to spin up a personal video conference without ever thinking about it. And they'll be able to capture that personal video conference and integrate it with things like email, things like discussion forums. You'll be able to tag those conversations very intelligently so that people will be able to find and access the content right down to the individual thought. I think you're going to find some of the other kind of proof of concepts that people have been putting out there, and things like maybe tablet-based PCs will come back.
Another question for Tony was what he thought of the future of social networking and how it might affect today's enterprises. Here are Tony's thoughts.
Well, I don't think I'm a social networking expert. I'm a consumer of social networking, and that I use sites like LinkedIn and Facebook. So I think to a large degree it comes down to the personality of the different consumers of these applications. For someone like me, Facebook is an interesting experiment in social communications because I see people contact me to be friends. Do I get any business benefit out of it? Absolutely not. On the other hand, LinkedIn, from a business perspective, is a much more productive tool. But that's me, and you know, that's me as a kind of an executive working in a large IT company. If I look at the way my kids look at these applications, they live on them all day. They live on Facebook specifically, all day and all night. So their expectation of what a social network is and the utility that a social network gives and the value that it delivers to them is totally different. But the future is not me.
Yeah.
The future is not 50-year-old white males. The future is the folks who are growing up today are indeed those who, these what they call the millennials, the folks that have been around at a time when the internet was a pervasive presence, and you know they become used to dealing with ubiquitous access to information. They become used to devices that are with them all day and all. I mean, the first mobile phone I got was 1993 or thereabouts, you know, so when I look at kids today at 7 and 8 getting mobile phones, you know, these are now part of their being. So the future is not for me, it's how these folks are going to use it. And one of the interesting things about it is that they have no fear of data and they have no fear of computers. When you think about anybody like me who grew up in the mainframe era, we have things like data security in the back of our minds. We think about where our data is, who has access to it, and how we manage it. Whereas a lot of these folks who are using social networks, they really don't care. They will upload some of the most private and personal data to sites and let them have it. I mean, look at Mint.com, bought by Intuit just recently. I would say that if you looked at the user base of Mint.com, the vast majority of them were probably in the 25 to 35 age bracket, or younger. And the reason is that they don't worry about the fact that they're giving away banking information and credit card information to a website. They just see utility in the website, and that the website would go and collect all this financial information from the various bank accounts and provide them with some analysis and some reporting. Whereas the older population probably looked at it and said, I'm not going to give my bank account details to no website. So it's just a totally different attitude that people have. They've lost the fear of the web. And that, I think, is going to be a big influence on how people use social networking in the future, because quite honestly, the target audience for social network has no fear of the web and what the web will do for it. They just look at it as a tool.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. But be on the lookout for another podcast where Tony and I speak about virtualizing exchange and the economic pros and cons when migrating to Exchange 2010. Thanks for listening.